Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing our series of Halakhos Responsa. We're going to learn a tshuva now from the Shalos and Tshuvas Mima Amakim, written by Rav Ephraim Ashri and Chelik Dalid, She'ela Vav. The question is about Jews who were very determined to keep the mitzvah of Sukkah. So what do? They went to where the Germans had wood, and they simply stole the wood. They took it without permission. If they would have asked, then the Germans would have chopped their heads off. So if they get caught, the Germans are also going to chop their heads off. However, it didn't bother them. They were less concerned with their heads and more concerned with fulfilling the mitzvah of Sukkah. So that's what they did. The question is, though, are they mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah? Maybe it's a Sukkah gzula. So this is a question that only people with a very high moral code are going to ask. The Germans didn't ask before they killed, but the Jews, we ask questions, are we yotze? Maybe it's not l'ratzon Hashem if we steal it. So the Rav Ashri answers this question. He quotes the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says that, according to Rav Huna, when these avankari, these people who are involved in dealing with hadasim, with myrtles, so when they buy a hadas, when they buy a myrtle from a goy, they shouldn't cut it down themselves. Rather, they should let the goy cut it down and then give it to the Jew. And the reason is because astam ovid kochavim, astam akum, astam idolater is a thief. And maybe he stole this land from a Jew. And karka ain't an exelus, so it's not considered stolen. So, in the meantime, the Akum steals the land. The land isn't stolen, it's stolen in the Rishus of the Bailam. So what should they do? Let the goy cut down, the goy that you're buying it from, let him cut it down. Now the Jew from whom it was stolen is going to have Yeush. It's going to be Yeush Bailam. So the land was taken, and he says, he's Messiahish, then it's cut down. The Hadas is going to be cut down. And then after that, it's going to be given to the Jew. The Jew is going to buy it off the Goy. So then you have two things. You have Yeush, and you have Shini Rishus. So with the Yeush Bailam together with Shini Rishus, that it changes hands. So that makes it a proper Kenyan. As Rashi explains, that this opinion says that Yeush alone isn't Kona. Rather, you need Yeush and Shini Rishus. And even if Yeush alone is Kona, but still, if the Jew themselves cut it, so then the Jews will be the thieves. It'll be a mitzvah bav aveira. Therefore, let the goy cut it. It's his aveira. And now you, the Jew, you buy it from him, so it's not your aveira. And it's also you take possession of this hadas, because there's Yeush and there's Shini Rishus. So la halacha, you would then, according to this Gemara, have the possibility of acquiring something, making sure that somebody else is Yeush in the first person's hands, and then it's Shini Rishus when it gets to you. And in fact, it says in the Bir Halacha that if you would, if a goy steals from a forest, and this forest is shaykh to one owner, so maybe it's no good. Maybe you can't be konet because the Jew didn't have Yeush. If he doesn't know that he was stolen from. So if he doesn't have Yeush, then there's no Yeush in Shini Rishus, because there's no Yeush. However, in our case, we don't have to be concerned with that. We don't have to be concerned with the fact that there was no Yeush, for a very simple reason. Because it might be that the Germans didn't know that we took it from them, but frankly, where do you think the Germans got their wood from? Rav Ashri proves that the wood that the Germans had is what they stole from the Jews. All of the wood business in Lithuania was in the hands of the Jews. The Jews were running the show. And they used to cut down the wood and make it into beams, and then they would send them to Germany and to other countries. So it's clear that the Germans stole this from the Jews. Because since now we're in Kovno, we're in Lithuania, so what are the Germans aren't bringing wood over from Germany. They're taking local wood, and that was in the hands of the Jews. So Mimela, when the Germans originally stole it, there's Yeush, and they already knew about it, the people being stolen from. And then afterwards, there's Shinui Rishus. So that's one reason why it would be mutter for the Jews to take this wood, because the Yeush, and when the Germans get it, there's Yeush. And then when the Jews take it from them, there's Shinui Rishus, and now it belongs to the Jews. And the other issue is that we have takanas marish, that when you take something and you build, when you take wood and you build it into a building or into a sukkah, you're yotze. And all the person gets is demei etzim. All you have to do is you have to pay, because the rabbis wanted to make it easier for people to do tshuva. So therefore what they said was, just return the money, and you don't actually have to return the beams or the bricks. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tav Reish Lamed Zayin Tziv Gimel. V'im gazal eitzim v'asim em sukkah. If a person stole eitzim and he made a sukkah, even if he didn't connect them, he didn't change anything, he's yotze, because of the takanas chachamim, that all the bialim can demand is demei eitzim, the money for the wood. So if somebody's gesel, so that's another reason to be mekel. So even if there's no yeir shishin rishus, we're not talking about the myrtle anymore. Here we're talking about wood. So they took the wood, they made it into a sukkah. All they had to do is pay Dmei Eitzim, but the wood is theirs. The only thing is that the Mishnah Berurah says that if you don't pay Dmei Eitzim, you're not Yotze. So maybe then it wouldn't help here, saying that that they don't have to return it. All they have to do is give Dmei Eitzim. Because here in the end, they're not going to be giving Dmei Eitzim. So at the very least, we still have the first reason why it's okay, because there was Yesh and Shini Rishus, without coming onto our heter of Takanas Marish, that all you have to do is pay the money. But here, now it's rightfully theirs, like we see in the Gemara, as long as you have Yesh and Shini Rishus. And here you have Yesh and Shini Rishus, but maybe because of Takanas Marish, that wouldn't help us, because here there's no Takana only works that you can say you don't have to actually return the wood if you pay money. But here the Jews obviously didn't intend to pay. The Germans weren't interested in taking money, and Germans are interested in killing. And the Jews are certainly not interested in telling the Germans that they stole their wood. However, there's another reason why here we have absolutely no problem. And halachically what they did is fine. And the reason is that every German who was involved in this mass slaughter of Jews has a din of a rodef. And that's what they were doing. They were killing innocent people. And the halacha is, says Rav Oshri, that a rodef, you're allowed to kill. If somebody's pursuing you to kill you, you're allowed to kill them first. Lo aleinu. Now, if you're allowed to kill them, you're certainly allowed to take their money. So, because of that svara, if we're matir their lives, if you're allowed to kill them, you're allowed to take their money. So therefore, certainly here, the Jews were allowed to take the wood. And he says, Mikol Hanal, this is how he concludes his tshuva, Horesi alocha l'maisa shemutra l'kachas b'li reshusim shel ha-germanim es ha-eitzim l'binyin ha-sukkah. They're allowed to take the eitzim. U'baruch Hashem harbe Yehuda miklui ha-geto kiyamu b'sukkah zuas ha-mitzvah kedin. Many Jews fulfilled this mitzvah. V'gam bircho es ha-brocha l'eshev ba-sukkah. And they also made the bracha. Not only that, Shetosha Germanim Tocho Einayim Meros Echa Yehudim Snu Einafsham Mekayim Mitzvah Sukkah. The Germans Pasha didn't see them. And even when the Germans made an aktsia that was called Estland, one Jew who was known by the name of Zalman Saginor, he managed to hide in this sukkah, and that's how he saved himself. Even though the Germans looked in every house, but it was as if they were blind, and they didn't look in the sukkah. So Baruch Hashem, the Jews were zochah to be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah, and in addition to that, this Jew, our friend, Reb Zalman Saginor, was able to hide from the Germans, and the Germans didn't see him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them blind to this sukkah. Baruch Hashem. Now we will continue with another question. This is in Chelek Dalet, in question 13, Sheli Yud Gimel. And the question is, is one allowed to be Yotzei the Chov of Kriya Shema when he hears Shema from somebody else? Can you be Yotzei Shema by hearing it? And he says, Kishayinu nisunim batzara, uvashivya skurim misugarim begito shel kovna, veinenu rose vekolos lemare acheinu vachyosenu hamuvalim, kitzon letevach lemachnos haashmada. We were in terrible pain and anguish, suffering, locked up in the kovna ghetto, and we saw how our brothers and sisters were brought like sheep to the slaughter, to the death camps. We especially felt the pain of our young children. Olalim v'yomkim shemipiem yosat tzureinu ozli Yisrael. Hamuchroim l'tevach al yidei oev achzarei shelo yed arachem. Especially to see these kids that v'piolim v'yonkin yisados, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the strength of the Jewish people as their children. And now, Rachmana litzlan, the cruel Germans who know no mercy, are merciless, are cruelly killing the Jewish children. L'chein, k'dei shelo tichbe gachelis Yisrael, in order that the coal of Israel should continue being ignited. L'mayin yishar lanu shein b'sheiris, in order that we should have a memory, a name. Nechletzu rabim l'hatzilus ha'ilodim ha'ktanim midei rabbi atavachim zovchei odom ha'girmanim. Many people invested great effort in saving these young children from these human slaughterers, the Germans. Ve'al etzos v'tachbulos sholnos, Allah b'yadim l'hotzi misbar yilodim enagito. And with various strategies and tricks, they were zoche to get the kids out of the ghetto and to give them to Goyim, and the Goyim are to watch over them until God, in His great mercy, will say to the destroying forces, enough, v'tzaraseinu yomar dai, we won't have any more tzaras. That was our hope. So after the shichur, after we were freed, when we went from darkness, l'or gadol, to a great light, yatzasi l'darki, I went out, l'chapes chipus achar chipus, es ha'udim ha'mutzalim yalde Yisrael. I went searching to find these Jewish children. U'matzasi b'kfar ha'samach l'ir Pren, and I found near this place called Pren, a village near Pren, a 14-year-old boy who's wearing Rachmana Litzlan, a cross. When he saw me, he got all nervous, he took the cross off his neck, and he threw it down, and he asked me, are there any Jews left in Kovna? And he proclaimed before me that he's a Jew, and he told me his name, and his family's name, and I asked him if he wants to come with me to his Jewish brothers in order to live with them, and he said, yes, I do. And immediately he ran home, took a few personal things, and we went together to Kovna. And my heart was both afraid and expansive that I was successful in saving a Jewish soul from the claws of Shmad, that he should not be assimilated amongst the Goyim. This young man, before the Holocaust, didn't receive any Jewish education. His parents were secular Jews, very far from the Jewish religion. Balachas kama v'kama, when he was hiding amongst the Goyim, he knew nothing about being Jewish. He didn't hear anything about Jewish tradition. So when I brought him to Kovna, I gave him to a Jewish home that he should live there, and they should teach him to be a Jew, to wear tzitzis, to put on tefillin, to make brachas, to bench, and to instill him with the Jewish spirit. However, since this young man didn't even know how to read, couldn't even read a sitter, the shaila was, what should we do in the meantime? We want to teach him Shema. Can he be Yotze Kriya Shema when he hears Shema from the mouth of another person? So that's the question. The answer Rav Ashri gives begins with a Prima Godim and Simon Nuntes, who's Medayik from the Magen Avram, that in Kriya Shema one can be Motzi his friend. But in the Eliyahu Rabbi it says, and he's brought by the Pri Chodesh, and some say no, Kriya Shema Dafka, the person has to read. And he's not Yotze with Shemiyah. It says, V'dibarta bam. It's mashma that you're not Yotze Kriya Shema with Shemiyah. It says, you have to say it. But the Pri Chodesh argues with this. And he says, Shemiyah is like Kriya. We know Shomea Ka'one. Hearing is like saying. And only in Kriya Shema, if he's a Baki, then he should do it himself. But if not, then somebody else could be Motziyim. However, the Pri Megadim, in the Mishpatzel Zav, and Siman Tafresh Peites, also writes this Shita, that in Kriya Shema you're not Yotze because it says V'dibarta bam. And it's Mefurish in the Zohar and Mishpatim that somebody can't be Motzi somebody who is not a Baki. In the Shalas and Shuvas Binyan Shlomo, he brings the Gro, writes that Kriya Shema you can't be Motzi somebody else. And that's why it says in the Mishnah at the beginning of Brachas, they must say Korin Eshma, Lashon Rabim. Everybody has to read themselves. There's no option of having somebody else read for you. You have to read yourself. It says Megillah Nikreis. Interesting. It says Megillah Nikreis. It must say Kor Neshma. So Nikreis, it's read. You don't have to read it yourself. Somebody can read it for you. Someone could be motzi you. But Meimasei Kora Neshma, every person has to read it himself. So we see various opinions. We see some opinions that say that one can be Yotzei with somebody else, and other opinions that say no, Kriya Shema you have to read yourself. In the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Mem Tes, Sif Aleph, it says that even though we paskin, that Dvarim Shebichsav, things that are written down, you're not allowed to say them Baal Peh, if it's Rogil, V'Shagur, V'Fiakol, if people are used to saying it, like Kriya Shema and Birchas Kohanim, then it's Mutter to say Baal Peh. The Magen Avram writes that in the Bach, he paskins like the Tur, that to be Motzi somebody else, you shouldn't say it Baal Peh. So if it's something that's normally said Baal Peh, you can say it, but the Magen Avram says, but don't be Motzi somebody else. And based on this, it says in the Kovetz al Rambam, that the Gra writes, that Kriya Shema, you can't be Motzi somebody else, is only talking about when you read it Baal Peh. But when you read it Mitoch HaKsav, Be'emes, you can be Motzi somebody else. So we see that even according to the Gra, which says that you can't be Motzi somebody else, according to the Kovetz says that's only if you're doing it Baal Peh. Because the Davish Baal Peh, you can be Yotze if it's a Shagur B'fi HaKol, if people are used to saying it. However, as we saw in the Magen Avraham, not to be Motzi somebody else, maybe that's what the Gra meant. Don't be Motzi somebody else if you're doing it Baal Peh. But Mitoch HaSidur, yes. You're allowed to be Motzi somebody if you're reading it from inside. And again, we saw the Prima Gadin who says that it's Meduig from the Magen Avraham that Kriya Shema, you can be Motzi your friend. So concludes the Rav, Rav Ashri, Mikol Zeh Reisi, Sheish Likor, Lifnei Anar, Kriya Shema, La'atlat, Vu Yachzor, Achare, Akore, Mila B'mila, Abel Hotzi Yosei Yidecho Votzo, Bezeh, She'achar, Yikor, Kriya Shema, Eino Moel. So it's better that somebody read than he just repeat word for word, but not that somebody should be motzi him. But b'medvar mamurim, when the other person is reading Baal Peh. But if the other person is reading from a sitter, then he can be motzi him. But since we're trying to be mechanichim, it's better that he not be motzi him at Shemei Ka'oneh, and the young man say it himself. So we saw a machlokas, can you be motzi somebody else in Kriya Shema or not? We saw an opinion that says that as long as you're reading from a sitter, you can. So based on that, he said that you can read from a sitter but and be motzi him, but the best thing is to say it and let him repeat after you, word for word. Now we'll do one final question. Writes Rav Oshri, Acharei HaShichur, this is in Sheli Yadalim, Chelek Dalet, Kishzachinu Latzet Me'afeila Le'ol Gadol, when we are zochet to go from darkness to great light, Ba'ilai Ish Echod, a person came to me, this person wants to remain anonymous, V'nafshosh B'shei Loso, and he asked me this question, Heyos She'nodala She'hor Avecha Avech Yosef Nergu Aydei Rotzeach Litoi, She'yosh Shomer HaBayis, Bo'ai Sediras Mishpachto, since he knows that his parents, his brothers and his sisters, Rachmana Litzlan, were killed by this Lithuanian murderer that was the guard of the house where his parents used to live. Can you imagine? You have a doorman, and every day the doorman says, good morning, sir, and you say, good morning. Germany, everybody was very, very polite, had a lot of manners, and then he ends up being your murderer, Rachmana Litzlan. Remember, it was a beautiful story, one of the most influential books I read in my life, actually. And Hashem has been mezakeh me to read quite a few. It was the book written by, if I'm not mistaken, it was Yaffa Eliach, called Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. I read this when I was a child, and I reread it, and I reread it. Many beautiful stories there about the Blush of a Rebbe. There's a story there that always sticks out of my mind about a man. Every morning, he would go and would take a walk, and he would see this German, and when he walked by, he would say, Good morgen, Herr Mueller. And the German would answer, Good morgen, Herr Rabbiner. Good morning, Mr. Mueller. Good morning, Mr. Rabbi. And that was their daily exchange. Anyway, one day he finds himself, Rachmana Litzlan, excuse me, I keep saying that, but Hashem should save us from all of this terrible fate that so many of our brothers and sisters met. Finds himself in the death camp, and he's on a long line. And some people are being sent to death, and other people are being sent to the other side, to life. and he gets closer and closer to his turn. Finally, he's about to look at the murderer eye to eye, picks up his head, it's his turn, and he says, "Good morning, Herr Mueller." And the German looks at him, and he says, "Good morning, Herr Rabbiner," and he sends him to life. So, if there was never an advertisement to say good morning, I think that's it. So let's continue here with our Shaila. So this doorman, this guard, killed his family, and now he's hiding in a certain city called Mariampol. Is he chayiv to spend money to look for this murderer in order to bring him to court, lahamido ledin, ulahanisho lebehetem lamasav lefichukei amedina, in order to punish him according to the laws of the country, leman yishmu v'yiru kol sonei Yisrael, in order that all of those who hate the Jewish people should see this and hear this, v'lo yosifu od laseis chofesh lechamas haretzach hamekaning besocham, they shouldn't freely kill Jewish people who are so innocent. This latent murderous tendency within them shouldn't find its expression. Lechol et Yaakov k'chayose yar ulahashem es naveyu, to eat Jacob, to eat up the Jewish people like wild animals, and to make desolate his place. And this shaila, says Rav Ashri, is a shaila nogat l'rabim. Many people have this question. Ki litzareinu harav rabim me'arotzchim ha'germanim u'mere'eyam me'amim ha'cherim, many of the Germans and their friends from the other nations, she'azru al yadam la'arog v'lishchot anoshim noshim v'taf mibnei amenu, who helped them kill innocent men, women, and children of our people, hitzlichu lihimaleitu lishabe medinos acheros ba'olam kulo mibli sheyuvu la'mishpat ha'maseim ha'roim. They were able to hide without being brought to judgment, and we know for many years afterwards, many of them were hiding in Argentina, many of them were hiding in other South American countries. They were all over the place. They're still, as we speak now, in Adar, Tavshin Samach Tes, there's still a few left. Still a few, not very many. Maisei tevach v'shod v'shefach dam nikim v'tarm l'orachim al zaken v'olel b'kulam em sholchu es yadam l'achriyam l'tevuch l'amisam v'chol minei misos kashos v'mishunos tochinuyim v'surim gedolim. So they're able to hide in all these different countries without being brought to judgment for all of their acts of cruelty and barbarism and sadistiyut, omrim b'ivrit. Even though I think that sadistiyut sounds like a word that comes from English, if you ask me. And they killed Jews with all these horrible mishunadika deaths. Mises mishunas. Haimutal aleinu lasis es hakol egili arotzchem. Do we have to do everything we can in order to reveal these murderers? B'chdei linkom nikmas domeinu ha-shafuch, in order to take revenge for our spilled blood. U'leholtzi al zeh asof tos kesef. Tzol in gelt. Do we have to spend money for this? O shein b'zeh chiyuv mefurish. Or maybe there's no obligation. Elinyan masa l'kol echad ve'echad lasos kefi asher yoreyu sichlo v'libo. Or is this something that everybody can make a personal decision, whether he wants to or doesn't want to? That's the shaila. The tshuva is given from the shoot Tzemach Tzedek Hayoshan in Simen Yud Tes. Yesh lakuf es krovo shel hanirtzach shehei rodef achar harotzeach lamido bedin afilu barotzeach akum. We should force a relative of one who was murdered to go after the murderer and to make sure that he receives judgment. And he says, who's a relative? A relative could be anybody. It doesn't have to be a close relative, any relative. However, we don't have to be mechayev him to go and start bribing the judges. Because if we are mechayev him too much, then nobody's going to want to do it. Now, those payments that if we do end up bribing the judges to make sure that this person receives his just deserts, quote unquote, in order to make sure that this person is punished. So who's going to pay for the bribes? The community. The shochat is going to be paid from the community. Why? Because if Jews just let themselves be killed and they don't make sure that a proper judgment isn't isn't carried out, then the blood of the Jewish people is going to be hefker. Of course, we don't stomp bribe judges. That's obviously goes without saying. But we're talking about bribing them to get a fair judgment. If you need to get it, otherwise they won't look at you. They don't like you to start with. So in order to get a fair judgment, you can bribe them. In order to bring these people to receive their what they deserve. And the community should pay. And it says many times we have a custom, the leaders of the community, that they have people go and run after this person, run after the murderer, even if they're not going to catch him, just so that they should know that the blood of Jewish people isn't hefker. Our blood isn't free. It isn't a free-for-all. People just can't kill us. V'nirish bizmanenu anu, that's the end of the tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek quoted, Hayasham. So the Rav Ashri says that in our time, yesh lishkol asinyan bepelas azahirus, in order that we shouldn't bring hatred and other problems, that people should want to kill us, people should be angry at us. We shouldn't reveal apathy to this matter. And we should do everything we can to find these murderers who spilled Jewish blood and show their true colors, their true identities, Zeotam Amitit. Ki elo yadua shem shinu et shemam vet zeotam kadei shelo yekirum, is well known. They change their identity in order that they shouldn't be recognized. V'lachein horeti le'ish ha-shoel, shelo yishkot v'lo yanuach, ela b'chol ma'amatzav yishtadil linkom es nikmas mishpachto me'harotzeach. He shouldn't rest, he should do everything he can to be nokem the nekama of his family from the rotzeach. Ulhorido sha'ola vishalo yachsoch shum hotso kaspis vitorach gufani bekashalaze. And he shouldn't withhold any monetary expense, any physical toil that will be involved. He should go all out in order to be nokem nikmas mishpachto meharotzeach ulhorido sha'ola. The achain. He continues, "Kavor kama shavuot ba yishelai v'siper sheitzliach limsots rotzeach mishpachto." A few weeks later, he came to me. Fortunately, we've seen these tshuvas of Mima Mokim. We've already noted that he's almost always mekel, because he's always trying to find, especially during the Holocaust, after the Holocaust, ways to make it easier for people, as we saw already today in the tshuva about the sukkah. There came l'kula. There was clear from the poskim. There wasn't a stretch, and the kid with the kriyas shema also found a way to be makel, even though he said it's better to read for him. Here it's not a matter of being makel or machmir. Here it's a matter of bringing them to din. But what I've noticed, besides the fact that very often he's makel, which of course it makes sense that he is because of the circumstances, but there's often a happy ending. Because when he is makel, for example, say the person was so happy when I allowed him to put on the tefillin, that's the shaila. The person was so happy when I allowed him to get the bris milah. We had another case like that. The person who needed a bris milah, and there was no from Moel. So here also, at the end of the story, Baruch Hashem, he found the rotzeach. He found him, he was hiding in the forest. That's near Birshton. Ha'ish gila et machbo betoch hayar hanal. He saw that he was hiding there. And then I'm going to read this in Hebrew, and I'm going to let you translate it on your own. V'zorak l'sham rimon yad shaharag oto v'es b'nei mishpachto shehitchabu ito. V'achara ish siper lizos ya'atzdi lo sheyazo v'es eretz lita. I told him to leave lita k'dei shekrove harotzeach lo yishlechu bo yad, in order that the relatives of this murderer shouldn't get upset at him and try to hurt him. U'biprat lihinatzo me'emes ha'memshela, he shouldn't get involved in the government, who wasn't so thrilled with these things. They didn't like when people took the law into their own hands. Ha'ish shama lekoli ubarach milite lepolin ve'acharkach liyisrael kadei shelo yipol bidei ha'memshela harusit litait al asotosh fatim beretzach mishpachto. In the end, this person listened to me and he ran away and he ended up coming to Eretz Yisrael. Today we saw a number of interesting shailas, and as I always note, And I will note again that we are mekayim not only the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is so important and fundamental, but also the mitzvah of eternalizing the memory of the 6 million Jews and what happened. There's this famous story about Simon Wiesenthal. But he relates, he was once talking to a few businessmen after the war. And he said to them, my sweetest friends, I think my sweetest friends is the way I speak, not necessarily the way Simon Wiesenthal speaks, the famous Nazi hunter. He said, listen, you guys are going to make a lot more money than I am. You're involved in business. You're Jews. You have Geschäftelach. You make money here. You make money there. You're a lawyer. You're a businessman. He said, but me, after 120 years, I'm going to go up to Shemayim, and there are going to be 6 million people waiting for me there. And they're going to say to me, Simon, you didn't forget us. And that's really something that I hope we can all say. I hope we can say after 120 years, we go up to Shemayim, and the people will say that 6 million, you didn't forget us. And it's not something that we should try to put away for the 20 years after the Holocaust. Nobody was talking about the Holocaust. Nobody was writing about the Holocaust. People just wanted to forget. It was too painful. But Baruch Hashem, there's been a big hesaurus, especially in the last 10, 15, 20 years. So much has been written, and so many interviews have been conducted. And this is something that there's so many lessons can be learned. I mentioned before in an earlier shiur that I know a tzaddik who is a seder every day. Besides his seder, that he learns however many dapim of Gemara a day, and however many mishnayos, and acharonim, and rishonim, and doing chesed for people. He also has his seder. He remembers the Holocaust, and he thinks, what can we do? What lessons can be learned? And he never tires of talking about it. And the murder of 6 million innocent people, and so many other people who suffered, is not something that should be forgotten anytime soon. And we should be zocha, the kiyum of the pasuk, v'nikesi damam lo nikesi. Hashem Shochein B'Tzion. B'Tzion. And of course, my favorite pasuk of Ubila Hamavis LaNetzach Umach Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kol Panim. We shouldn't have that anymore, death at all. And we should be Zochem Mirtz Hashem T'Tchiyas HaMesim Yakitzu Shochnei Ofar and Bias Goel Tzedek Meher V'Yameinu Amein V'Amein. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.